Novelist Frederick Buechner wrote, "In the silence of a midwinter dusk, there is a sound so faint that for all you can tell, it may be only the sound of the silence itself. You hold your breath to listen. You are aware of the beating of your heart. The extraordinary thing that is about to happen is matched only by the extraordinary moment just before it happens. Advent is the name of that moment." This is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz, Director of Distance Learning at Wyoming Catholic College, and you're listening to the college's weekly podcast about the great books in the liberal arts, The After Dinner Scholar. As the world around us accelerates into the Christmas holiday season immediately after Thanksgiving, Santa figuring prominently at the end of Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade in New York City, we Christians wait. And waiting is precisely the theme of Advent, the 4 weeks preceding Christmas Day and the 12 days of the Christmas season. As we prepare for Advent, I asked Monsignor Daniel Seeker, one of our two chaplains here at Wyoming Catholic College, about Advent and preparing for Christmas. While the world waits for January 1st, this coming Sunday is Happy New Year in the Church. Tell us about how and why Advent begins the Church's year.
Well, there's certainly different traditions in the Church, but there's the realization that it's a start of a new cycle of the mystery of the life of Christ. By recalling the way in which there was that time from the first parents through the chosen people where they were waiting and expecting the Messiah to come. And so it's kind of a reflection on that. There have been different traditions throughout the history of the Church about Eastern Catholics, and in the Ambrosian Rite, they have a longer Advent than we do, and certainly the Paschal Mystery is central. Some would say the resurrection is the new year in one sense, but it's a time to recall the coming of Christ in the flesh and a preparation for his nativity. It's also an element of preparation for the end of the world, the end of time, because in the last weeks before Advent, we hear readings that talk about the end of the world and the end to come and being prepared for judgment. And then the same theme is there in Advent, in the early part of Advent. So it's something that gives us a chance to be renewed.
Well, on the one hand, the world around us has it right. From Thanksgiving on, we prepare for and build up to Christmas. But Advent, of course, is not just Christmas shopping season with religious overtones. As Pope Francis said, Advent is a journey toward Bethlehem. How is it that?
Well, again, we're recalling the time before Christ came and all the things that were done by our Lord, who is the Lord of history, to lead up to that time. And so right away when Adam and Eve sinned, there was the promise of the Redeemer, the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. And so it's a preparation for there's really two parts of Advent. There's the first Sunday of Advent through December 16th, which is that, you know, recalling that we must be prepared. And that's that waiting and expectation and conversion and joyful hope, you know, of the coming of the Messiah. And then the second part of Advent is the last week before Christmas, from the 17th to the 24th. And there's different liturgy. There are different prayers in the liturgy in those different parts. And so that reflects that waiting memory, that call to conversion, and the joyful hope of the Advent season.
Yeah, so much of the Advent reading, at least in the breviary, is from Isaiah, constantly reminding us of the one who is to come.
Indeed, yeah. And so there's so many prophecies of our Lord in the Old Testament, many, many prophecies that were fulfilled in our Lord in his birth and in his life, even in his death on the cross. And so those are something to reflect on and to think about how the God is the Lord of history. It's a help along the journey.
I was really introduced to the whole idea of the church year, believe it or not, at a Baptist church, at a Bible preaching conference, by a United Methodist pastor. And he talked about Advent. Well, he talked about the church year as being, in a sense, a picture of our lives. and how Advent was a time of waiting. And, you know, Advent can come upon us at any time of year, but it's a time of waiting, waiting on God, waiting on direction, waiting on, we do a lot of waiting, waiting for the second Advent. How is waiting involved in this and, you know, in our personal lives?
Well, the word Advent, of course, is from the word for the coming, you know, and so it's waiting for the coming of the Lord, who once came in the flesh at the incarnation. And this is such a momentous event that we recall it every year. And in fact, we number our years from it for the most part. This is the year 2020. And that comes from, you know, the Dionysius Exiguus, who is a monk and a canonist, actually, in 544, who wrote this chronology and said, well, across the world at his time, people were dating from the emperor or whoever was the temporal ruler. And they still did that, and still happens today. You know, the year, this is the, what, the I think the seventh year of the pontificate of Pope Francis, or the eighth. And so he wanted to unify things and make it simpler. And so he said, well, we'll just call, he calculated it and found out that March 25th, he thought, was when the incarnation happened in 754 from the foundation of the city of Rome. So he called that the center point. And that's why we number the years from that date. Some scholars now think that he was a little bit off, maybe 6 years off, but it really is, the realization that the church is waiting. But also there's the not only the coming of our Lord who came in the flesh, but the coming of the Lord at the end of the world in glory and majesty to judge the living and the dead. And then the celebration of the coming of Christ at Christmas time. Those are all aspects of that waiting.
Bishop Robert Barron has written, "I don't think we'll understand Advent correctly until we see it as a preparation for a revolution."
Yeah, in fact, the Lord turned the world upside down from a world that was, though there was a certain peace at the time Christ came, you know, the Pax Romana, it was also a revolution in that sense that people were without hope because they were waiting for the Messiah to come as the Jews, and Christ came as the Savior of all. And so when he came and then walked on the earth and taught, he taught the Beatitudes, which is a reversal of this world's standards. God became little and humble, not like the gods before him. And he calls us to the revolution of the conversion of heart. We had this feast of St. Charles Borromeo, who was a great reformer, because he reformed himself. And so our Lord is calling us to take part in his revolution by that conversion, and it, which is one of the aspects of the Advent season.
What disciplines do you recommend for Advent?
Well, of course, I think the greatest prayer that we can offer is the Mass, the liturgy, and I would encourage people to, if they're able, sometimes now with all the things happening in the world, they're not able to attend the liturgy in person, maybe streaming or something like that. Another great practice for waiting and for conversion and for knowing the coming of the Lord, I think, is Eucharistic adoration. To spend a half hour or an hour in the presence of the Lord, if it's possible to do so, that, you know, in the tabernacle or exposition, if it happens at a place near you. It's wonderful to see the students here coming and spending time in adoration in our chapel here at the college. In the family, when I was growing up, we always had an Advent wreath on the table, so it would be a way for us to pray together as a family in preparation for the birth of Christ during the Advent season. And even if it caused little quarrels among the children of the family who got to light the candles, it was something that was memorable. And we knew that it was a special time, and it was a time for us to pray together and hear the prayers and the scriptures that refer to Christ's coming. So those are things that I think can be helpful. You know, keeping the season by waiting until Christmas to celebrate Christmas. That's kind of revolutionary too in our day, because in the world around us, you know, Christmas begins after Halloween and then it ends at Christmas Day, where the Christmas trees get thrown out oftentimes. But for us as Christians, Christmas begins on Christmas Eve. And so to keep Advent as a time of waiting and expectation, as a time of prayerful preparation, and then to celebrate Christmas all the way through the Christmas season, which in this coming year would be January 10th, 2021, which is the baptism of our Lord, or even some people extend it till February 2nd, the presentation of our Lord. And so those are some things that may be helpful to people.
Are there any books or devotionals you'd recommend to our listeners? What will you be reading?
Well, I think you mentioned the prophet Isaiah. That's read in the liturgy, and I would encourage, it's not always easy to understand the Old Testament, but another thing is because Mary was the woman waiting for the Lord as a pregnant mother, as the one who believed in the promises of God to the people Israel, I think devotion to Mary is a great help during the Advent season too. And we have two great celebrations of Mary's feast days that are really a treasure, the Immaculate Conception on December 8th, and then Our Lady of Guadalupe on December 12th. And so these are examples of how God has done great things through Mary and give us hope. So Mary was very much involved in the rebirth of America in her apparition in 1532 in Mexico. Another thing that I would encourage is when it gets closer to Christmas, the week before, there's the O Antiphons, which are the antiphons that are chanted at Vespers in the Liturgy of the Hours, and also they may be used at the Gospel acclamation at Mass. And they begin with the vocative O, and they're reflections on the biblical imagery and the hopes of the Messiah and proclaim the coming of Christ. And so those are things that our family, we had a Jesse tree symbols and chrismums and things like that. Even to look up the prophecies of Christ in the Old Testament and to read those could be things. And I have some tried and true books from some spiritual writers like Pope Benedict and various pamphlets that I've received over the years that have Advent meditations that I use. Another thing that families could do is like just shortly before Christmas to put out the crib, and then children can be encouraged to soften the crib of Jesus by they put in a little piece of straw for every good thing that they do or prayer that they say. And so these are, you know, some practices that were practiced in our family when I grew up.
Well, we've lost so much of that. And, in the anticipation of what C.S. Lewis derisively called Xmas, which he called a ghastly racket. And it's so good to be to remember that it's not the ghastly racket. It's fine to give gifts to our friends, but there's something bigger going on here.
Indeed, yeah. So my prayer is that everyone will have a blessed Advent season of preparation and be filled, even though there's so much, that can distress us, with the hope that Christ our Savior is indeed coming into the world.
Pope Benedict XVI wrote, "Advent, this powerful liturgical season that we are beginning, invites us to pause in silence to understand a presence. It is an invitation to understand that the individual events of the day are hints that God is giving us, signs of the attention he has for each one of us." Close quote. And with that in mind, wait with anticipation and eyes wide open. The King is coming. Let us prepare his way into our hearts, our families, our church, the lives of our neighbors, and what the carol writer called the weary world. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.